Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the signage department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Thanks to some guy named Bill Dom.
I had a bad signage headache a couple of months ago.
You know what you should take for that?
No.
Guillotine. These are signs found at various businesses. For example, on the door of a plastic surgeon's office. Hello, can we help you pick your nose? On a plumber's truck, we repair what your husband fixed. Yeah, that's my house. On another plumber's truck, don't sleep with a drip. Call your plumber. At an optometrist's office, if you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. Get it? And my favorite was this one. In a veterinarian's waiting room. Be back in 5 minutes. Sit. Stay. That's it. I don't have anything else.
That's pretty good.
Back in 5 minutes.
Well, look, we'll be back in 5 minutes, too, if you have a question
about
your car, which is the reason we're here, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed.
What is the reason?
We're here to answer questions about people's cars. You can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Teddy from Stratford, Connecticut.
Teddy, T-E-D-D-I.
You bought it.
Where is Stratford?
Stratford is at the mouth of the Housatonic River.
In Connecticut?
Yeah.
Same Housatonic that's, where does that start?
New Hampshire? Jersey.
I think it starts up near Canada.
Does it really?
Yeah, New Hampshire.
I thought the Avon River went through Stratford.
I think it's a different continent or a different country.
Different country.
Ah, okay. So, Teddy, what's up?
Well, I have an 89 Toyota Camry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one out of every four or five times that I turn on the ignition switch...
Oh, I know. Don't tell me.
...it makes a wretched sound.
Mm.
You got it.
I was just clearing my throat. I'm ready to make the sound now.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, my daughter has an 89 Camry as well, and she has the same problem.
Good.
I'd been jiggling the steering wheel, and that would allow the car to turn on.
Mm.
And then that failed, and she said she jiggles the gear shift on the floor between the two front
seats. And that does it for her.
And that, well, does it for me, too.
You know what also does it?
Yes.
Pulling on the left earlobe.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you try that tomorrow. You pull on the left earlobe, and it'll start.
Well, maybe
and I'll
it
guarantee
will.
You this.
Well, you have to pull on your daughter's left earlobe.
Maybe it will, but here's one.
Yeah.
I noticed that the it seemed to be synchronized with the seatbelt, the automatic seatbelt on the door. So in desperation the other day...
Well, you know, this is a good example.
I opened and closed the driver's side door, and the car went on.
See, if somebody were teaching correlation coefficients right now, this would be a wonderful example.
Yeah, this would be a good example of how scientists go bad.
But, I mean, occasionally you run across a scientist who makes it very clear that... All we have here is a correlation. We don't know anything about causality. But most people don't say that. They say, gee, every time I pull on my left earlobe, the thing starts up, and I guess I've got it figured out.
And it's as likely to start by pulling on your left earlobe as it is doing any of these other things. I'm going to just guess you have an automatic transmission?
Yes, I do.
Does your daughter also?
Yes.
Good guess, eh? You're ready. You're sitting down, Teddy.
There's a 90-10 chance that it's...
Maybe I should hang up now.
No.
There's a 10% chance that it's the starter, which would cost you 100.
Well, the starter has been replaced.
No, there's a...
Then it's no chance
zero,
of that.
Then 0.7.
Yeah.
There's a 0.7% chance that it's the starter. And there's a 99.3% chance that it's the flywheel.
That's what my husband said.
Yeah, and your husband's
an astute guy.
You should always listen to your husband. Husbands are almost always right.
Here's what I would do.
Yes.
I would drive it until it no longer starts.
Yeah, I mean, it'll happen pretty soon 3 out of 4 times, and then 4 out of 4 times.
And if you can live with that kind of uncertainty in your life,
yeah, I mean,
with the knowledge that one of these times you're going to be someplace where you don't want to be late at night...
Right.
And you'll have a car that doesn't start. If you can accept all of those consequences.
Yeah, but you've got a long way to go. The wonderful thing about this malady is it really does progress in a nice, predictable fashion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it doesn't go from one time out of five to five times out of five overnight.
It's going to go to takes two. A couple of nights.
It's going to take 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, I would sort of keep track. And as it starts to get more and more frequent, uh-huh. you will have less and less time to get it fixed.
Yeah, I do a fair amount of long-distance driving to Vermont, so I really don't want it to happen.
Oh, you need to fix it tomorrow. Put a new flywheel in, and you will be on cloud nine.
Well, my real question would be then, about what price range is this going to be?
Oof.
This is a four-cylinder Camry, I take it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's several hundred dollars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, several, like
more,
four.
More than several, yeah.
Yeah, three, four.
It's several severals.
Two or three severals.
It's more like two severals. Thanks a million for calling.
Thank you. God bless.
You
bye-bye. Too.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm in Maryland.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Just Maryland, huh?
Well, it's Hagerstown, Maryland.
Hagerstown.
It's almost West Virginia.
Is that where they make the slacks?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. But anyway, I've got a 91 Dodge Caravan.
Uh-huh.
And it's got about 107,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And it's starting to smoke.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
This is what I thought.
Hmm.
It's a strange kind of smoke, though. The smoke itself is a white smoke with a bluish tint, so I'm thinking oil. But it doesn't do it all the time. It only does it...
when you're not looking.
When I'm not looking. It only does it when I'm parked and there's a good-looking young lady next to me or something. Anyway...
Is it more likely to do it when you first start in the morning? Does it blow a big cloud of smoke?
No.
Do you look? Some people don't look. You know.
Does it do it when you're coming down a long hill and you step on the gas?
I don't know about that.
All right, then we give up. When does it do it?
It does it mostly when, you know, like stopped in traffic. And if I leave it idle at any length of time, you know, pointed downhill at all, it'll do it then really bad. I mean, it'll get really bad if I do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Pointed downhill.
You have a 3-liter V6 engine. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, it's the only engine they made, actually. No, they did make a 91. They made a 3.3 liter. They made a four-cylinder. They made all kinds of different engines, so I had a 1-3 chance. Yeah. Do you burn oil? Does it consume oil?
Yes, but not consistently. Mm-hmm. I check it, knowing this is a problem, I check it every time that I get gas. And sometimes, I need to put a quart in there, maybe a quart and a half. And
after how many miles?
400 miles, maybe.
400?
Yeah, I drive about... 160 miles a day.
Well, I'm going to suggest that you have bad valve guide seals.
I like it.
And that's why tipping the vehicle.
I think you only got bad valve guide seals on one end of the engine, even.
No, I think if you face the other way, the same thing would
you
happen.
You think so?
If I face the other way or the car will face the other way?
Yeah, you turn around. You mean if you were facing uphill instead of downhill?
At the same angle.
At the same angle.
Okay.
Because I think what may be happening is... this is stupid. How do you let me do stuff like this? Well, you just sit there.
I tried to bail you out by saying
it's like
one
playing hangman. I feel the noose tightening around my neck, and you're not doing anything.
Well, I tried to bail you out by saying one end of the engine, and you turn around and say, no, either way. You could have bailed out bad valve guide seals at one end of the engine. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well... Suppose
it
so,
would be
but
good.
Not elegant.
Well, it would explain it not doing it as much on a level road.
Well, you could have bad valve guide seals.
I like the valve guide seal idea.
You can take it to the shop, and they can take the valve covers off, and they can look and see if you have any valve guide seals left.
Right.
Okay.
And it may be that you need them replaced. They're not that difficult to replace. They'd have to take the camshafts out,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to cost you several hundred dollars.
Uh-huh.
But it may solve the problem. And, in fact, they may not be able to tell even by looking at them. I would just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Spend the money. Do it. If it solves the problem, you'll think we're geniuses. If it doesn't, you'll have the same opinion that everyone else has.
No, because if it doesn't, there's nothing else to do except wait.
Except the ring job.
Yeah, which you don't want. You wouldn't do anyway, right?
Okay.
You're not losing any coolant.
No.
You're losing any hair.
Long before I bought the van.
Are you losing any sleep?
Now, I would do the valve guides, the valve guide seals. With 107K, there's a very good chance that you need a complete engine rebuild. Uh-huh. But there's a better than 50-50 chance, I think, that the valve guide seals will solve the problem, at least most of it.
And my brother, although he thought he was getting himself into deep trouble, I think the truth is that the valve guide seals explain most of your symptoms.
Uh-huh.
Whereas rings, we had a little trouble coming up with a theory that would make you burn a quart of oil this month and not last month.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'm having trouble with this, too. But it's time to say goodnight. Goodbye, Steve. It's been a pleasure. Good luck, Steve.
Hey, thank you very
Get
much.
Get it fixed. I think it's going to do it.
I think so,
the
too.
The valve guide seals will fix your problem.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
See you later.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to be here. Nice to talk to you guys.
Me
We're
too.
Glad to have you. Who are you?
My name's Gwen. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Gwen.
D.C. Are you a lawyer or a politician?
No.
Are you married to a lawyer or a politician?
Oh, Lord, no.
Okay,
God good. Bless you, my child.
Now, they have to have a few of us working around here, you know. So.
What's up?
Okay, I have a great vehicle that I'm sitting in right now, talking to you, parked by the side of the road, by the way.
Good, thank you.
Ford E150 1988 van,
uh-huh.
which runs like a top. It's great. It is my business. I am a mobile dog groomer. Now,
no kidding.
No kidding.
Good
real.
Idea.
My imagination's not that good to make something like up. My question is, as old as this van is, 160,000 miles, it desperately needs repainting because of the size of it and the logos and all. It's going to run me about $4,000 to do that. What type of thing should I have my mechanic be looking for to see if this is a good idea or not?
Wow-z.
Is it runs great. I've it had runs... no major problems.
Yeah, but with 160,000 DC miles on it.
Exactly.
You know that you need stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff might simply be invisible to you.
That's true.
$4,000?
Yeah, well, you know, hey.
What are they going to do for $4,000?
Oh, well, you got to not only paint the vehicle, then you got to do the lettering.
The lettering, it's a tall van. It won't fit in any of the commercial chain shops.
Oh, so it's got the high top on it, so you can stand up in it.
That's it,
Oh. Yeah.
So what do you do is you drive around, people call you up and they say, Gwen, I need my dog shampooed and
That's
vacuumed.
That's it.
So you show up and they bring their schnauzer out.
That's it. Very good. Yeah, we do.
Do you have a siren and a flashing light in case it's an emergency?
No problem.
You should get one.
Most of them, they're just, you know, happy to get done. As many of the dogs run out to greet me and just as many crawl under the bed.
How many growl and snarl and try to bite your leg off? And what do you do? I've often wondered, because I would like to be a dog groomer. And I've often wondered what you do when you encounter dogs that don't particularly like to be washed or groomed.
You don't. You just say no. I've only had one in 11 years that I walked in, and the lady could not pick up the dog. She couldn't put a leash on him. She couldn't touch the dog. And I just said, honey, I was born at night, but not last night. I'm not going to see that dog.
So he was a somewhat unruly little creature.
Yes.
Was it a little dog?
It was a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, they can be a pain in the butt.
They can be, yes.
All right, well, so now that we've got it established that you're successful in your business.
Yes, God be praised.
And it would be a considerable expense to get rid of this van and buy another one, because you'd have to have that high top put on it and all that.
It's all rigged. It's ready to go.
Not a cheap thing to put together.
You've got to fix this van no matter what's wrong with it. It's unlikely that the undercarriage is rusted, because they don't use much salt on the roads, if any, in D.C.
That's true.
So no matter what, you've got to keep this for another 10 years. So I'd have the mechanic go through it and find everything that's wrong with it.
Okay.
And you've got to be prepared to spend perhaps thousands of dollars. But
why not?
I mean, just add it to the paint job.
Well, that's true.
Sure.
Because replacing it's going to cost you $30,000.
Yeah, exactly. That is what we're talking about.
So. Yeah. So my brother is right. I mean, you've got to keep it forever, and who says you can't?
Okay.
When are you planning to retire?
Oh, well, I'm not.
No, she's not.
I'm not thinking that far ahead right now.
No.
I can be a little old lady dog groomer running around.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing that you really can't fix is really, really progressed rust.
Okay.
And you probably don't have that, as
no,
my
not,
brother says.
Not really.
And the rest of it, everything, one piece at a time, you can replace the entire van.
Okay.
And you got to do it.
Okay, I'm glad to have somebody official tell me that.
And don't do everything at once. Do it as it comes about.
All right, that sounds like a reasonable plan.
And you're only driving little short distances now with this thing, right? I mean, you're not driving. You're driving miles and miles a day still?
No, not a lot. 40 or 50 miles a day on it.
No, it's good. Bad. Good for another 10 years, and then you'll retire,
right.
Or
okay.
You'll have so much money
now you're arranging
that the
that
dogs
part,
will
right?
come to you. You just whistle, and they'll come.
Oh, okay.
And we'll arrange financing when the time comes.
Oh, good. All right. Good. They'll be glad to hear that.
See you, Gwen.
Thanks so much for your help.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's an interesting business. She created her own business. You don't have to go looking for a job. Stay away from those big companies. They're nothing but sleazeballs anyway.
Exactly.
Your own business. Make it.
Go for it.
Go for it. Exactly right.
Okay, Tommy. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
My mind is a complete blank.
Well, I know that, but do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
No. Remind me.
Well, it was about you and me and Dougie taking on an onerous task.
It must have involved work.
It did. Oh. Painting Car Talk Plaza.
Oh!
And we'll be back with the surprising story and more of your calls in just a minute.
Pushing harder, getting nowhere. I can get there faster in my car. In my car. Swirl around, I tend to drift. Never used to keeping in one lane. The lines and laws, the vines and dogs. Never apart, never apart, never apart, never apart.
And even though June brides start shopping for radio-free convents whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I think I mentioned this is a mathematical puzzler.
It becomes immediately apparent when you describe it.
Well, sometimes I lie. Anyway, here it is. Tommy and Dougie and I are sitting around the office one day at Car Talk Plaza and noticing how dingy the place has gotten to look. And, I mean, we'd been there 15 years and the place had never been painted, so we decided that we were going to paint it. So to get ourselves organized, we sit down and we do a little figuring.
Yeah.
And we determine the following. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We determined that Tommy and I together could paint the entire Car Talk Plaza in 10 days. It's two rooms. You know, we had a lot of painting experience as kids.
You got to move stuff around. You don't just paint, you know.
No, I just paint. I don't move. Anyway, we had a lot of experience painting as kids. That's why we knew we could do it in 10 days, because we painted Dad's car a few times with rollers. And so we knew we could bang it off quickly. Dougie and I could do it in 15 days. Mm. And if Tom and Doug worked together, they could do it in 30 days. And so the question is, how long would it take each of us working alone to paint the whole joint? So let's let T represent the amount of the place that Tommy can paint in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, R represents the amount I could paint in a day.
And how about D?
The amount that Dougie could paint in a day.
Good.
So we come up with the following little equation. T plus R equals 1 over 10. And we'll change that to 3 over 30, and you'll find why in a second. And then...
Where'd you get T plus R equals 1 over 10?
That's the amount of work that you could do in one day. The amount of work that I could do in one day equals 1/10, because we could together do it in 10 days.
Got it.
By the same token, D plus R, Dougie and I working together, could do it in 15 days.
1 over 15.
So D plus R equals 1 over 15. Now, if you take those two equations and you add them together, you'll never figure it out. But if you take the second equation, the D plus R, and change all the signs, so it's minus D minus R equals minus 115, mm-hmm. and you add them together, mm-hmm. the R's fall out, and you get T minus D equals 1 over 30. But here's what's interesting. So we get T minus D equals 1/30, but I said T plus D equals 1/30.
Oh.
We have a problem here.
Don't we?
It looks like D equals 0.
D is a big 0.
So Doug contributes nothing. And
he's slowing everybody down.
And if D plus R equals 1/15, then R must be able to do it by himself in 15 days. And if Tommy and Dougie together can do it in 30 days, then Tommy can do it alone in 30 days. Because, again, Dougie is contributing zippo. So who's our winner?
The winner is John Boyer from Manhattan, Kansas. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, John is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With this $25 gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars, which is a great gift for Dad on Father's Day.
Just like it was last year or the year before. it comes in handy in case you forgot or your father forgot. Get him another one.
And don't forget, this is the right time to order it because you might get it by next Father's Day.
Well, anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so don't go away. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Mm-hmm. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Wendy from Cleveland.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Here's a skinny, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a recovering flower child.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Yeah, one of those. And I had a Volkswagen Super Beetle for 13 years.
Oh, brother.
And the deal is that I wasn't allowed to tune it up or do anything at the apartment building I lived in, so I used to go to the municipal lot, and I'd, open the hood, and I'd put in the wires and four wires and four plugs and the rotor and the distributor cap, and it would do fine.
Yeah.
And all these wonderful men would stop by and say, ma'am, can I help you? Are you having trouble?
Yeah,
wouldn't
sure.
they? Guys always like to do that.
Yeah. I know. Well, now I have...
It's almost as good as having a puppy, isn't it?
It's better. Plus, they're handy. I mean, meet a guy with a puppy, you don't know if they can do anything.
Did any of these guys have a pork chop hanging around their necks?
No. Anyhow, since then, I've had Toyotas, and not only are they totally reliable, and I love them, but there's nothing I know how to fix other than the washer fluid.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm stuck. I have a problem. I haven't had a date since I got rid of my Volkswagen.
Well, you're going to have to get a puppy. Have you got a puppy?
No.
Or you want a car that you can work on.
Yeah, that was good, too. It was good for your nerves as well as meeting people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't forget, there still are Super Beetles available. You could go back.
Well, the only problem with having a Super Beetle is you wouldn't find any guys that knew anything about them and could help you. At least,
or if you did, they'd have no teeth.
Right, exactly. Exactly what I was going to say. We help you. I remember working at these. Yeah.
Can I help you, sweetie?
Plus, if you're driving them in Cleveland, if it's a Super Beetle in Cleveland, you'll be in water up to your ankles when you go through puddles.
Yeah, and besides, you don't want to go back. I think
no.
What Abraham Lincoln said, I may walk slow, but I don't walk back.
That's right.
You want a car that will break down. That's unusual.
Or that I can tune up.
Or at least you can do something to it.
Well, yeah. What's your current car?
A Toyota 4Runner.
What year? New one, huh?
New one. I think I'd have to drag a computer around with me.
Well, I mean, there are lots of things that you can't do, but there are still things you could do.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, you can change the spark plugs just as readily in this as you could in your Beetle.
Yeah. You don't have to. I mean, the spark plugs are probably good for 50,000, 60,000 miles, but what do you care?
That's fine.
Take them out, spit on them, and put them back in again.
I can do that.
You could do that.
You could certainly change the oil. In fact, it seems
very easy. Get you dirty. And people can't see you underneath the thing.
Well, that's
you got to be visible.
That's true.
And over the hood of that 4Runner, you'll be pretty visible.
I need a stool to do that. You know, step stool, carry around a little ladder.
Well, you need a cardboard cutout of yourself to stand up next to the truck. So when you're underneath it, people will know that it's when you have to put your Wendy,
Yeah, I like that idea. Cardboard, full-size cardboard cutout.
I can do that.
All right, and you need music playing. What kind of music do you like?
Oh, anything.
If
I'm in the university area, I could play classical.
Sure.
Do you want to attract a classical music kind of guy?
Well, it depends on what else they do.
You don't care, huh? Just any guy at this
point.
But say,
huh? It's obvious that you have the marketing orientation here. You realize that you must tailor the product to fit the target market. That's very good. Because if you're going to be near the colleges, you assume that they like classical music, which may or may not be true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were, in fact, a flower child, you may be a little too old for college students.
That's true.
Oh, you're going after college professors.
Ah! Now you're talking.
Or the physical plant employees.
Buildings and grounds are good.
Yeah.
It depends on what you like. I mean, do you like the get-the-hands-dirty kind of guy, or do you like the college professor type?
Well, basically, the Renaissance man that can do both.
If
you know, wash his hands and then come in and make a gourmet dinner would be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I want him to do everything.
Well, I think you ought to hang out in the university parking lots.
Yeah, there's just about everything there, that's for sure.
But I go for the cardboard cutout, so if you are underneath the vehicle doing something, they'll still know that you're there.
That sounds terrific.
And music playing.
Yeah.
That'll work. That's a good way to start. Now, anything besides spark plugs, just in case, you know, I hit a live wire there that really does know something.
Well, I mean, you can always be checking hoses and belts. That's always good.
Well, yeah, I know how to do that.
You know how to do that. You're checking the tension on this here belt. You know, I'm just checking this radiator hose. It seems a little hard to me. I think I might have to replace it. Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, keep to the simple stuff.
Well, yeah, that's about all I could, you know.
Can I guess, Wendy, that you don't work?
No, I do.
You do work?
Sure.
Well, you've obviously never learned rule one of working. You don't have to be actually doing something. You got to just look like you're doing something.
Oh.
Right?
You're right. I never learned that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you must be in business for yourself. You're actually doing something. So, I mean, you don't have to be doing much of anything. It's got to look like you're doing something.
Great.
That's good, and I wish you the very best.
Well, I thank you.
Yeah, I think a few smudges of grease placed in the right areas.
Yeah, and maybe some boxes from an auto parts store or a bag or something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But a little smudge of grease on the forehead, one on the shoulder, of your shirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
a little smudge on the cheek. It works wonders.
A little smudge on the cheek, and your hair should be in disarray.
Slight disarray.
It's always that way. Wendy, good luck in whatever trap you set.
And I
hope you find a fair-haired boy.
And it's a good game plan. Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is John from Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
John.
Center Hall?
There's a clue in there as to where it is.
Yeah, isn't it like in the middle of the state?
That's it. That's right. I have a problem with my wife's car.
Sure.
It's an 88 VW Golf.
Yeah.
And I don't drive it much, but about every third time I do drive it, the horn blows. And she swears this never happens for her.
What year Golf is it again?
It's 88. An 88.
Pay attention, will you?
Well, I was trying to geographically locate Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
It's 12 miles from Harrisburg.
No, actually, it's right in the center of the state. It's actually when Penn State plays Boston College in football, I can hear them cheering the touchdowns.
Really?
Oh.
Yep.
Out your window?
Yep.
Okay, so you drive your wife's car.
Every once in a while.
And as you're maybe like taking a turn or something, the horn goes beep.
Well, that's just it. It happens all different times. The last time it happened, I sat in it without touching the wheel because I figured that might have something to do with it. Put the key in, turn the key, and there goes the horn. Now, it happens, it'll blow anywhere from just a quick little beep to, one time we were both in the car and I was driving, and it went on for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
So she swears there's a lard butt indicator under the driver's seat.
Maybe.
That's good. She's quick.
So she knows that you're not fabricating this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been with me. I went to move the car in the driveway the other day, and that's when it did it, when I put the key in. And she was watching me the whole time, knows that I didn't, you know, touch the wheel, knows that it'll happen.
Right.
I can be driving, I can be turning, I can be, you know, sitting at a light. It just doesn't matter.
And according to her, This never happens when she drives
never,
the car.
Never, ever happened.
However, no. We know that there's never a time when the two of you are in the car together that you're not driving.
Well,
because we know that men always drive.
Well, when we're in the car together, we're usually in my car.
But if you were in her car,
mm-hmm.
you'd be driving.
About half the time.
No, but this has happened to you even when you were driving her car and she wasn't with you.
That's right.
So you are the common denominator.
No, but what I'm saying is that there's probably very little time that they're in this Golf
mm-hmm.
when she's
that
driving.
She's behind the wheel. This may be happening to her
all the time,
and she may be blaming you. She may be trying to drive you crazy.
The gaslight syndrome. Yes.
Yeah, it might be the gaslight syndrome. Exactly. Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer. I remember that movie well.
That could very well be.
It could be. I mean, what's probably wrong is that the horn button mechanism, which is what it's called, in the middle of the steering wheel, is probably grounding out, and that's what makes the horn blow.
Uh-huh.
The current comes into that thing, and then when you press it, you complete the circuit to ground, and that's how the horn blows.
Yeah, right? I mean that's a simplistic answer.
Well, that's the answer.
That is the answer. That's a simplistic answer. But the real question is, why does it only happen to John?
That's right.
That's the real question. Boy, I mean, are you working on that aspect?
I am working. I'm working on it feverishly.
What was that theory of your wife's about the large butt?
this car does not have tilt wheel.
No.
Of course not.
And there'd be no reason to assume that you would do anything differently except from adjusting the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're probably taller than your wife.
Right.
And adjusting the seat should have absolutely nothing to do with the wiring in the steering column.
Yeah. This has happened almost from the beginning for me.
Are you a lard butt?
I don't quite weigh twice what she does.
Do you weigh more than 200 pounds?
Yes.
You weigh more than 200 pounds?
Yes.
It's the only clue we have, and it's not getting us any place. I mean, it would be interesting if we could come up with a theory that says when you have 200 pounds in the car...
Uh-huh.
It deforms something in such a way that a certain wire, which we know exactly the position of, would just be beep.
But you've you said you got it to blow and you just turned the key and didn't
yes,
do anything else.
But you were sitting in the car.
I was sitting in the car, but I turned the key without touching any of the steering wheel or any of the other instruments.
And how did you get it to stop then?
That time it just went, just
stops
a beep,
itself.
A quick one, yeah.
But have there been any times where it's gone on for a long time, you've
yes.
managed to do something to get it to stop?
No, just wait. And luckily, it's one of those cars that when you turn the ignition key off, the horn stops.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you just sit there and check it every once in a while until it's done.
The radio doesn't go off, but the horn stops
That's right,
blowing.
That's
yeah.
right. Well, the one good thing about it, though, is it is a Golf, and it's the rattle in the interior of the car is getting to such a pitch that... It's hard to hear the horn.
Right. The horn is a welcome interruption. Boy, I wish we could give you a brilliant theory, but we have failed you.
Oh boy,
miserably. Well, I feel embarrassed.
Well, we need more hints. I mean, you've got to give us more information.
I just told you he weighs 220 pounds. What more do you want?
Maybe I could get her to gain 100 and see if it does it for her.
I got it. Next time it would be interesting. Next time she drives the car alone.
Mm-hmm.
She weighs 110 pounds. Get a 110-pound weight and put it on her lap.
Or sit in her lap.
Or sit in her lap. And see if the horn blows, because that will be a big, big clue.
I'll do it.
Well, I suppose it's possible that some wire is chafing against the... So the horn wire would have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you are changing the geometry.
Yeah.
By putting your large butt in the seat.
So essentially it is a large butt indicator.
See, you should always pay attention to wives because they know everything. Well,
I mean, my best guess would have to be that it clearly has to do with your weight and that somehow you are causing the wire for the horn to short out inside the steering column.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if someone pulls that apart, they will see probably immediately what's wrong, and they'll fix it in no time.
Okay.
You're
well,
a good
I'll
sport, John.
Okay, well, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
So long.
Bye. Hey, Tommy, I think we should take a break and meditate on all we have to be thankful for.
Yeah, you mean like our health, our families, our loyal staff, the fact that we get paid for doing absolutely nothing?
No, for Bugsy. He just arrived with a box of crullers.
What are we waiting for? We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
I drive a small Japanese truck, and I'm running out of luck, because everybody's passing me. And when I pull up to a light, I know it just ain't right, because I'm always last to leave. And if I drive down to L.A., I'm bound to cause delay, because I just drive too slow. But if I take you to the hills, my little Japanese truck is guaranteed to give you thrills, because there ain't no place it won't go.
And even though the NPR landscaper empties another bag of cow manure in our cubicle whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well,
I, for one...
You may have to wait a while. It's rather lengthy. But this came from a guy named Bob Cofield. From I don't know where.
Cyberspace.
Maybe even farther away than that. He says, I am disappointed that in all of your shows that I have listened to, you have never paid tribute to the great and venerable patron saint of automotive diagnosticians, Gus Wilson. Oh. Surely you remember that Gus was the proprietor of Gus's Model Garage, whose stories appeared in Popular Science Monthly several years ago.
Several decades ago.
Yeah, well, that's what I realized, too, until I read the letter came to us in 1982. Anyway, he goes on and on. Da, 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 da. He says, I know how desperate you are for puzzles, et cetera, et cetera, so I thought you might be interested in a Gus Wilson classic. Don't worry about copyright infringement.
He's dead.
And I will read what he sent. This is stolen right from the Gus Wilson archives. It seems that there was an intense but friendly rivalry between the volunteer fire departments of two nearby towns, Jeffersonville and East Norriton. Pride was at stake as their rivalry climaxed each year in the firemen's competition at the county fair. That's what they do at county fairs. So closely matched were the two fire brigades in skill and experience that the preliminary hook and ladder events were virtually a tie, leading up to the final showcase event of the race of fire trucks. There's going to be a race. Got it?
Got it.
20 laps were raced counterclockwise around the quarter-mile dirt track at the fairgrounds. Both brigades drove identical pumpers, scrupulously maintained and adjusted to peak performance. The rules require that they be set to factory configuration, fully loaded and equipped, and the crews identical in total weight to the nearest ounce.
Wow.
Oh, this is serious stuff.
Wow. There's quite a rivalry, you know, between Jeffersonville and the other place.
East Norriton. Both drivers were skilled and experienced, wily veterans of the road. So you'd imagine that they would balance out.
Sure.
Anyway, the Jeffersonville team had come away disappointed for 4 years in a row, having lost a final event by the closest of margins each time. Kind of like the Atlanta Braves. They appealed to Gus to provide them with some small competitive advantage. Gus took a look at the high-wheeled pumpers and the dirt track and mused while he knocked the ashes from his pipe.
Ooh.
And Bob writes, a dramatic affectation that you might consider adopting yourselves. He then stepped forward and without tools, without violating the rules, and without even opening the hood of this fire truck, he makes a quick adjustment that enables Jeffersonville to take home the trophy that year. What did he do?
Give me the rules again.
Oh, come on.
They got to be tuned to factory specifications and
the
weights of the guys that would announce.
Right.
Okay.
And he didn't do anything illegal because Gus Wilson, he's the patron saint of automotive diagnosticians. And being a saint, he wouldn't do anything illegal or immoral.
So he knocks the ashes out of his pipe without any tools, without even opening the hood. He makes an adjustment. Was that important?
He makes an adjustment, yes. I would say the adjustment is the operative word here.
Yeah.
He makes an adjustment, but he doesn't open the hood.
Yeah.
Doesn't even set foot inside the truck.
Oh, man.
Do I need any more hints needed?
No.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, we'll see.
Now, what if someone thought that he or she had an answer that was within reason?
Well, send it to the Jeffersonville Fire Department, because they really didn't win. If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a block of Pecorino Romano, imported Pecorino Romano, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from Bozeman, Montana. How are you?
Sarah from Bozeman, huh?
Believe it, huh? It's hard
to believe.
Is
this Sarah with an H?
Without an H. But I'm originally from Cape Cod.
Are you? And you went from Cape Cod, home of the retiree, to Bozeman, Montana, home of the wacko. Ah, you must be a very interesting person. You must be a retired wacko.
That's a very good way of putting it. Well, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is kind of a story, but you can tell me what you think about it. I went to the store in my car, which is a 1989 Nissan Stanza with 150,000 miles, which I'm getting rid of this week. And the person that's buying it is probably listening to this. And
you'll never sell the car now.
He's not going to buy it now.
He's not going to buy it.
Unless we figure out what's wrong with it.
Well, I went to go get into my car, and it wouldn't start. It was dead when I walked out of the store. So I had to get it towed. And then my friend, who is in the physics department here at the university.
Always dangerous to have a scientist figure out what's wrong with your car. But go ahead.
Very dangerous. And yeah. He thinks he knows what he's doing, or he thought he knew. So he took my car and he put it up on the, what is it called? You know, the lift?
The lift, yes.
The lift.
Oh, they have
but
it in the physics department?
I was in the lift with the dog and he wouldn't let me out. My dog and I were in the lift like 10 feet above the ground and he's taking pieces out of my car. He's taking my gas tank out, my gas, everything is on the ground and I'm up above the ground and can't get out.
Yeah. Wait, this guy is in the physics department?
Yeah, he's a little weird.
Where did he get the lift?
It's at the university. They have like an auto shop.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a nice feature of this university.
Okay, so you're in the car with the dog, and he's on down below taking pieces out.
He's taking parts out and throwing them in places. And so like 10 hours later, he gets everything back together, and I'm still in the car with the dog.
Oh, you must have had to pee something wicked.
You wouldn't even know. And I have a very small bladder. I had to pee very badly.
Yeah.
He finally puts the car down, and it turns out it was the gas pump.
The fuel pump.
Yeah, and, you know, they're expensive parts if they need to be, like, if you need to get a whole new
yes,
one.
That pump is big money.
Yeah, so I didn't want to have to do that. So he's, like, welding stuff together and putting wires. I don't know what he's doing, but whatever he did, he said it was fixed. So, you know, I thank him, and that's that. Well, I'm driving down the street, and I decided...
Oh, and it worked, actually.
Yeah, it worked. It started. But I need to put gas in my car. But now I can't get gas in my car without spending 2 hours to pump it, to fill the whole thing up. It clicks off every, like, after I put maybe... 2 cents of gas in, it clicks off. And it says that it's full, but it's not full.
Well, which of the physics courses did this guy flunk?
I think he flunked most of them. Because now it's not working.
Yeah, I think he flunked the one on Boyle's Law.
Well, no, he must have taken the tank out to replace the pump.
He did. He
because
took everything
you, you know, in this car, you have to take the tank out. And I think what he did was he somehow created a restriction in the filler neck. Because if the gas can't get in, that's how the nozzle knows that your tank is full.
Right.
Because it sends pulses back, which shut the gas off.
Well, it's shutting it off.
It's shutting it off because it thinks the tank is full because it's running into an obstruction.
So you think he just crimped the filler neck?
Well, I don't know what he did. Sure. He could have done any number of things, or he could have plugged up the vent line or something, could have crimped the vent line. He could have done any number of things, but he's got to take the tank out again, I'm afraid. If you're still speaking
to him. I'll just drive my horse.
Is this a boyfriend or just a boy friend?
Just a friend. Just a boyfriend. Not boyfriend.
A male friend.
A male friend.
Male friend.
Just a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But does he have aspirations? Does he have higher aspirations for your relationship?
I don't know. He's been in grad school for 8 years now. He thinks it's time to get out. I think he wants to be a mechanic.
Well, he's got the beginnings of it. He screwed up.
I'm going to park it. Forget it.
If you want to fix it, he's going to have to take the tank out. But he may be able to figure out where he screwed up by looking at the filler neck.
The filler neck.
The filler is a thing that runs from the gas cap to the tank.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And somewhere along there, he's created an obstruction or he's crimped something or pinched something, and it's preventing the tank from filling up, and that's why the nozzle shuts off right away.
Yeah, what a pain, you know?
I mean,
it is a pain.
Yeah, unless you really do have gas in it, the gas gauge just isn't working. Is that possible?
No, well, yeah, the gas gauge says it's full all the time as well, but it's not, I'm telling you.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know, but maybe I should rent it out until it runs out of gas.
It could be full, but I doubt it. My guess is that what I mentioned earlier is what happened.
All yeah. right, well, I'll have to deal with that.
You have him take the tank.
And we know it's not full because he lifted it out of the car.
Yeah, but then they put more gas in it. I don't know what happened. I'll have to run it till it runs out.
I think so. And yeah. Just tow your horse around. When it runs out, you ride your horse home.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to live in Montana because you have the extra horse in case, you don't have your car.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's good.
See you, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jeff. I'm calling from Peru.
Which Peru?
That's New York.
Where is that? I know where it is, too. No, I don't.
It's just south of Montreal.
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch of weird places up there named, like, Egypt and Rome.
Yeah, well, they ran out of names. And name them anything, because no one comes up here anyway.
So what's up?
Well, I have a lifestyle question. About 4 years ago, I quit my job and hit the road.
Yeah.
And I've been traveling for about 4 years.
So, and you just quit your job, got in the car? Or you start walking?
The first part of the trip was in my own car, yeah. I went up to Alaska and the Yukon and the Northwest Territories.
And were you in search of some great unyielding truth, or were you just curious about things?
Just curious, just wanted to get away from working for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's up? Keep going.
Well, a lot of the time, like when I was up in Alaska, there's times when, I tend to run out of gas.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, I have all my backpacking gear and camping equipment, but very often I have Coleman fuel, like a gallon of Coleman fuel. And I'm wondering if I can put that into the car rather than, walk out for 20 miles to try and find a gas.
How much of an emergency would it be? Like, would the wolves be ready to let you pass through their digestive systems?
No, it's never that bad. It's just a question of, do I want to walk for a couple of days to get out to somewhere where I can buy some gas and haul it back? A
couple of days.
Yeah.
Days, huh?
Yeah.
In which case, you might pass through the digestive system of wolves if they happened upon you.
Yeah, it happens in a variety of places. So I never know. If it works, then I can do it. But I don't want to screw up my car like.
Well, you will.
You might. Oh, okay. You might.
How old is your car?
It's a 93 Honda Civic Hatch.
What is Coleman fuel anyway?
It's gasoline.
Yeah, it's kind of refined, that's all.
No, I don't know exactly what Coleman
fuel
is.
Coleman fuel is some secret thing.
I think we are now entering. This is gonna get us a letter from
Coleman. Mr. Coleman.
I do know that you can burn gasoline in your Coleman lantern.
I always thought that Coleman fuel, I mean, don't forget, it doesn't come out of the ground known as Coleman fuel.
No,
if there weren't a company putting it in.
It comes out of Coleman mines.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of the basic elements, hydrogen, helium, Coleman. I mean, they
hydrogen,
get it.
Helium, lithium, beryllium,
boron.
It's one of the Coleman. Rare earths.
No, I mean, I think it's kerosene, isn't it?
No, it's definitely not kerosene.
No, it's not kerosene.
You toss a match on and it flares up.
Yes, it
like
is
gasoline.
Much, much more volatile. Kerosene will not, actually will burn at room temperature, but...
Well, if you have a match.
Barely.
Oh, no, barely. It but ignites this stuff, like gasoline. I mean,
this stuff burns like gasoline.
Yeah.
Well, here's what
it's a great question, Jeff, and if anyone should know the answer, it would be us. And we don't.
And rest
assured, we're embarrassed as hell. I mean, I should say, I'm not really that embarrassed because I've never had occasion to use Coleman fuel for anything because I'm not an outdoorsy person. So I don't know what Coleman fuel even is.
Well, I do have...
I've heard of it.
I do have a supply of Coleman fuel in my basement.
You do?
I do. I have a gallon of it.
Call your wife.
And I have a Coleman lantern.
Ask her to go down in the basement and read what it says on the can.
I think the side of the can says something like, contains petroleum distillates, which is what gasoline is, too.
Yeah.
Fatal if swallowed.
Harmful if fatal if swallowed. Keep out of reach of children and Tom Magliozzi. And I think it's likely to be less explosive than gasoline.
Okay.
But it's probably, not going to hurt your engine if you did it, you know, in, under dire circumstances.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I just didn't know if it was just going to just explode.
No, it's not going to explode, although, you know, I have read, and I'm sure we will get some not insignificant number of emails mm-hmm. about mixing fuels and causing certain kinds of reactions to occur.
And weird stuff happening.
Like people adding gasoline to diesel fuel. You've heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, the biggest problem is not whether it will burn, but mm-hmm. what will it do to the injectors, the fuel lines, and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend you don't do it until you hear from us.
Okay.
Or you hear the explosion.
Yeah, right.
From the lab.
Yeah, or if you do it, you do it far away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very curious to know what this stuff is, especially since they don't really tell you.
Yeah.
But it does smell different.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't smell like gasoline.
I've never seen or smelled the stuff, tell you the truth.
But it does burn pretty intensely.
Yeah.
So I think you could use it. And if the alternative were being eaten up by wolves, I'd
right.
put it in my tank. See you, Jeff.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Boy, that was very helpful, wasn't it?
Hey, don't forget, it was he that called us.
He called us.
We didn't go looking for Jeff. I mean, what did he expect to get from us?
He expected us to know something.
Yeah, and we could have taken the safe. We could have said, oh, no, Jeff, you never should put anything in your tank except gasoline. That would be the safe.
Or how about we don't know?
No, we couldn't do that.
Why not?
It's not in our chart. We're not allowed to say we don't know.
Oh, NPR
so.
Won't allow it?
Not allowed. Not on our contract. You got to give an answer. Oh, God. Is this show almost over? Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Pine Bluff, Marshmallow Fluff, Cream Puff, Beef Stroganoff, and Oysters in the Rough Can't Get Enough Face Stuff is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our art critic is Dot Snice. Our transgender studies expert is Ben-Hur. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropov. Mm. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne-Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne-Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the barely-used textbook sellers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1323, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, check out our top 10 lists.
Right, 10 cars we hate the most. 10 things we'd like to see standard on every new car. 10 worst things your mechanic could ever say to you, other than, your daughter and I are engaged.
No!
Check out all of our top 10 lists anytime over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.